maybe we'll have time for someone else. I do appreciate this church. I appreciate Brother Herb. Brother Herb did me a great honor and asked me to accompany him to Russia earlier this year. And I'm so thankful that he did. I will say a little bit, Brother Herb talked a little bit earlier about the work over in Russia. I want to say just a couple of words added to that. I've told some people this is one of the things impressed upon my mind when I was there. Russia, the land mass of Russia is almost as big as the United States and Canada put together. And in a country that size, there are four Primitive Baptist churches. And they are not close together. Two of them are within, on each side, I guess, within about an hour of one another, and the others, I guess, about 4 hours apart. And one of the things that those brethren over there desire is fellowship. I ask you, as you think about them, when the Lord brings that to your mind, to pray for them, for that end. And they would like, they encourage Brother Herb, they don't realize, I guess, the logistics of going to Russia, maybe, but they'd like for somebody to come over there every 2 or 3 months from the United States just to come over and not to give them anything, not to come with, you know, give them something, but just, I think, to know that they have other people that they can fellowship with. They would rejoice to be able to be here today, to be here with this many people and to just fellowship around the Word of God. I want to, Brother Herb mentioned the preacher's names over there, and I was talking to some of them while I was there, asking questions, and of course through an interpreter. And I got this story out of one of the brethren over there. Brother Herb said he hadn't heard before. One of the preachers over there, his name's Brother Beal, and I asked Brother Beal how he came to the Doctrine of Grace. And I want to try to speak, if I'd speak at all today, I want to try to speak a little bit on that. And I'm thankful for those songs that we sang. But I asked Brother Beal, I said, how did you come to the Doctrine of Grace? Well, he was pastoring an Armenian church. And he said the people over there bought him a book. They didn't know anything about what was in the book, but just a thick book, and they thought that'd be a good book to give to the preacher. And it was by an old Puritan named Thomas Boston. And through reading that book, Brother Veal come to see the truth of God's sovereign grace. And he began to preach it. And at one of the meetings, I assume the last time that he ever preached there, they physically beat him up in the sanctuary of the place where they met for preaching the doctrine of God's sovereign grace. Now, I know you preachers, and not just you preachers, that some, everybody here that believes that, you've probably been in situations where people just wish you would shut up. But I've never come to that point yet where I got beat up. Well, Sergei Gekel was there, and I asked him, I said, well, how did you come to the Doctrine of Grace? He said, well, I was good friends with Brother Beal. And he said, I heard that he was preaching some strange stuff, and he said, I was a good friend with him, and I thought I'd go try to help straighten him out, like Brother Herb was going to straighten out his friend. And he said, that's how I come to the Doctrine of Grace. I love to hear how the Lord works in His people. If I'm around anyone very long, I want to ask them, how did you come to know the Lord? And how did you come to see the sovereignty of God and to realize that salvation is by grace? I know how I came. I was a young man, was going to go to this Bible college, and the first day I was there, I met a young fella, another young fella, and we became fast friends, but he started telling me about this doctrine of election, and I thought he had lost his mind, and I said, nobody believes that. I said, Baptists don't believe that. He said, well, traditionally, Baptists always have believed that. And over the course of time, I came, and I've heard some of you other brethren, Brother Smith, I think, talked about that, Brother Herb. He didn't really argue with me. He would just, when I would say something, he'd just come back with Scripture. And I finally came to the point that I knew that what he was saying had to be true, but I couldn't understand it. I just couldn't get it in my mind. And one night, I was reading, and I wish I could remember where, but I was reading someone's Psalms. And I realized that if God hadn't moved toward me, I never would have moved toward him. I had not the ability, the desire to move toward God. But God showed me that if salvation, if there's any salvation, it's by grace. And one of the hardest things for the natural man to ever understand and admit is that he has not one thing to do with his salvation. Not one thing. And it's all of the Lord. Well, as we were singing those hymns, and I thought of this verse that you probably are very familiar with, but it was in Luke chapter 10, and the occasion was Jesus had sent the 70 out to preach, and they had come back to him, and they were just rejoicing because of the power of God that had gone with them, and they said, why, even the devils are subject to us. And this is what Jesus said to them in the 20th chapter, the 20th verse of that chapter. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then sometimes, you know, people may ask you, well, what is so important about the doctrine of election? Why do you stress, you know, why do we focus so much on the doctrine of election? Well, I think the next verse for me answers that. But in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus rejoiced in the doctrine of election. And I rejoice in the doctrine of election. Not because that there was anything good in me that caused me to be elected or to cause anyone else to be elected, but because God, in his mercy and in his grace, just chose to put his love upon a people. Now, when did that take place? When were their names written in heaven? One time, several years ago, I don't watch TV preachers, but I happened to run across one of these preachers that was preaching, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody preacher. You might hear some good preaching on TV if you got a good preacher preaching, but he was inviting people to come down to make their decision for Christ, and he made this statement. He said, when you get up out of your pew or your seat and start down toward the front, he said, there's an angel in heaven that writes your name in the book of life. Well, that's sad to see that people would preach that and that people would believe that. But the name that's written in heaven was written there a long time before the angels were ever created. Before the foundation of the world, the names of God's people were written in the book of life. I like to think about what I read years ago, not long after I came to the doctrine of grace, and then later on I find so many places where that's taught in the Bible. I like to think about that eternal council that was held in heaven, or wherever God dwelt, that was held there before the world ever began, and when God the Father chose a people to save. And God the Son, He gave them to the Son. God did the choosing, and He gave them to the Son to pay for the sins of people. Jesus said in John chapter 17, He said, well, I'm going to have to turn and read there. Brother Hammer can quote that. And he's heard me quote it before, but I'll mess it up if I try to quote it. He said, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They were given to Jesus Christ by the Father. The Father gave them to Him. And so that was that eternal counsel that was made before the world began. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was involved in that. And, you know, when we say these things, we just say it in such a way that we can understand it. I'm not saying it happened exactly like this. But God chose His people. The Son agreed to redeem those people, and the Holy Spirit agreed to reveal to those whom God had chosen that their sins were paid for, and cause them to love the Savior that died to redeem them from their sins. That happened a long time ago, before the world ever began. Now, I'm going to quit, Brother Herb. I wish I had the ability to say more, but I'm through. I'm just going to quit. Let somebody else preach, brother.
All right, brother.